If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find them, or this evening, if you want to stay till in the morning, that's fine. I'm going home in 40 minutes. Matthew chapter 6, as we will continue our service that we began last week on the subject of prayer and just a brief two-week lesson, how to pray, praying with power. And we began this, and we began our whole series on what every Christian ought to know. And we've been using Dr. Adrian Rogers' book as kind of our syllabus. We've been going through the Bible with his helps and some of the thoughts that God has worked through him and to be a blessing to us. And I don't want to steal any of that because that's a marvelous man of God. I want to make sure to give him credit for the work that he's already labored before us. We said last week that nothing is more important to the Christian than to learn how to pray. If you weren't here last week, you need to make sure and get a copy of the evening service. It'll be hard to plug everything in a review and get us all out. But those three points that we talked about, I'm going to rehearse them. But to get the whole message in its entirety may help you put this together and be a good study for you. The greatest thing that we can learn as new believers is how to pray. Now, some people may differ on that. Some people may want to teach them what it is to be spirit-filled. And I know Baptist preachers, we want to teach what it is to tithe. And I do think that ought to be at the top of the list. But not more important than praying. And we said last week that prayer can do anything that God can do. Man, when you think about that statement, that is phenomenal. Prayer can accomplish anything that God can accomplish, and we said that God can do anything. If you believe that, say amen. All right? And we know that prayer has the ability to accomplish whatever God can accomplish. It's amazing how we neglect prayer in our lives sometimes, and we do not give it its proper place. So we come to Matthew chapter 6, we come to verse number 9, and we read the prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us as a model, as an example. Not to be taken line item upon line item, as far as you don't have to every time you pray quote the prayer. Sometimes people do it in creed form, and sometimes they do it before big events. It was not given to us to quote word for word unless it fits your need, but it was given to us for some understanding. If you would look at verse number 9, the Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last week, we learned three things in how to pray with power, and we took time to examine those. Verse number 9, we saw the persons of the prayer. And this is important that we understand that when we pray, it is communication between a father and a child. It's amazing how nervous people get when they get ready to pray. You would think that they stiffen right up and their mouth goes dry and you ask somebody to pray in public and, oh, I could never pray. And prayer kind of carries with it all of a sudden this nervous rigidity that's hard to handle. But when you understand what true prayer is, it makes it delightful. It makes it easy. Prayer is a child communicating to its father. And I gave you the illustration that, you know, my kids, when they ask for something, they don't come and say, "Oh, holy, reverent, ordained, degreed minister of Plantation Baptist Church, can I have $5? They say, "Dad, where's the money? We need it." All right? And so that's what prayer is. And by the way, you must be God's child to pray. We talked about that. God does not hear the prayers of anyone that's not his child other than a prayer of repentance. In verse number 10 last week, we found the purpose of prayer. And this is a marvelous blessing. The purpose of prayer is found in the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." The purpose of prayer is to accomplish God's purpose or the purpose of heaven on earth. Now, when we get to heaven one day, we said there will be no prayer. There'll be no prayer in heaven because the will of God is accomplished in heaven. There'll be praise, but there will not be prayer. And so the understanding is that when I pray, I am to find out what God's will is, and I am to pray the will of God. Now, we stopped and we took time to understand where prayer comes from. And we said, any prayer that gets to heaven begins where? In heaven. And basically, it's like it's a circuit. And so the definition of prayer, as I gave this to you last week, and I want to give it to you again, if I can find it, and I know I wrote it down. All right, here it is. The Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father, and then putting that desire into our hearts, and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. Now you said, Pastor, what does all that mean? That means this. That means when you come to something in your life that's above you, something in your life that would either be tragic, either be directional, would either be life-changing, or something happens, the first thing we want to do is we want to stop and pray. If we get sick, we want to pray that we get better. If we're near death, we want to pray we don't die. If we lose our job, we want to pray that we get a job. And I can understand all of those things, but a lot of times we rush into prayer, forgetting the purpose of prayer, and hence we pray amiss. So when something happens, I'm not necessarily to go in and to pray what I think. My responsibility is to search out the will of heaven and then pray the will of heaven on earth. So your first prayer and my first prayer, it should not be, God, do this. My first prayer is, God, what is your will in the situation, in the circumstance I'm in right now? Boy, if you'll listen to that, it will absolutely give you purpose, give you power, and give you authority, and give you understanding when you pray. That's why James told us that if we do not know God, lacked understanding, and could ask according to his will, that we would receive those things. So the purpose of prayer is that the will of heaven would be done on earth. That behooves you and I to find out what God's will is. Then we moved into verse number 11. And in verse number 11, we found that there's the provision of prayer. Now, the provision is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so the Lord here is telling us in a very practical way that he desires to provide for our needs. Now, a lot of times, as Christians, we fall into the trap of not worrying about the day, but worrying about the future. I'll give you an illustration. We're told in American society that we are to put away for retirement. Is there anything wrong with a storehouse principle? No, it's in the Bible. You should be putting away something. If you're not saving anything on a weekly basis, you're not fulfilling the storehouse principle. You say, Pastor, I don't save a dime. Get in the Bible. Study what it says. I told you the Bible talks about your investment, talks about your savings, talks about everything. So there is a storehouse principle. But the Lord Jesus told us that we're to be concerned with the day and not to be concerned with what? Tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is sufficient on the day of evil itself. He said, I want you to worry about today. Why do I worry about today? Because today is where he wants us to exercise faith. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus is teaching us here that the Father desires for you and for I to approach him on a daily basis for his provision. Now, it's kind of sticky right here. It's kind of sticky because, truth be told, we don't really need God to provide for us daily. We get our paycheck, and our paycheck's enough to carry us through, and so we really don't need him to provide for us on a daily basis, yet he tells us to come and to seek him on a daily basis. Well, where does that leave you and I? I'll tell you exactly where that leaves you and I. That leaves you and I with the responsibility to find out, what does God want with his wealth that he's entrusted to us? Let me just go down this road a little bit. Does God want for all of your money and all of my money to be set aside in just an interest-bearing account and in a banking situation so that we can leave an inheritance and so we could do those things? God doesn't want to go to the extreme of not. There's a storehouse principle, but God has wealth, and the way God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. And so my responsibility then is to find out, God, what do you want with my wealth? Well, I'll tell you what God wants with your wealth, and he wants with my wealth. I have wealth too, I guess. Yes, I do. All right, here's what he wants. He absolutely doesn't want it to take away from faith. Everybody's just looking at me. Amen. Thank you, preacher. I needed to understand that. All right? Everything in all of my approaches to the Lord, if it's to be pleasing, is to be done how? By what? By faith. So even in those areas. So here the Lord Jesus is teaching. He's saying, you go to God and you pray, give us this day our daily bread. I want to ask you a question. Now, don't get angry at the preacher. Just ask you, did you have to pray this week for daily bread? Well, no, I didn't have to pray for daily bread. Well, then the responsibility is to find out what did we miss? Where did we go wrong? Because then if I didn't have to pray for daily bread, then I missed out. Well, God just provided for me down the road. That's not how God works. God's never going to provide for you down the road so you don't have to incorporate faith, because down the road's not pleasing to him, but faith is pleasing to him. So you say, Pastor, that's challenging my thinking. Good. I'm glad. Amen. All right. So we had the persons of prayer, the purpose of prayer, and we found the provision of prayer. And we were quick to say this. Prayer's not just so you can eat. You need a job, need a house, need a wife, need a husband, need understanding, need direction. All of those are available to us through prayer. And so tonight I want to pick up on the last three that begin here in verse number 12. And we want to go over, we've had the persons, the purpose, and we've had the provision. Now we're going to have the pardon, the protection, and the praise of prayer, and how to pray with power. If you look at verse number 12, the Bible says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Pastor, why is it that I pray, but I'm not sure my prayers are being answered? I come to church and other people say that prayers are being answered, and they have this testimony, and man, I pray, I get up early and pray, I stay up late and I pray, and it seems like I pray all the time. Well, why aren't my prayers getting answered? Well, there's a couple things. We learned last week that our prayers may not be getting answered because we're not praying as unto the Father. We haven't been saved. You know, if we're not born in the family of God, we don't have the right for prayer. Sometimes our prayers are not being prayed because we're not praying the will of God. Well, how could that possibly be? Wouldn't God want me to have this? So many times in our own understanding, we think that it's only natural that God would want us to have this. When God says, no, I don't want you to have this, I want you to have this. Or I don't want you to have this, but I want you to have this. And this wasn't really what I had, this is what I have. And so sometimes our prayers are not answered because we may not know the Lord. Sometimes they're not answered because we don't pray the will of God. And we find in verse number 12 here another reason. And the other reason is that sometimes prayers aren't answered because of unconfessed and unrepented sin in our life. Now, this is imperative. I want you to see two verses in the Bible that will change the way you pray. Find Psalm 66 and find Isaiah 59. Now, come on. We'll be done on time. Psalm 66 and Isaiah 59. And you read this in the Word for your own understanding and for your own benefit and for your own glory here. All right? Let's begin with Psalm chapter 66. And we'll look at verse number 18. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Give you just a minute if you want to find Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 2. All right? Now I read in Psalm 66, verse 18, these words. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what, church? Not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now go to Isaiah 59 and look at verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Not that he cannot hear, he's not saying that. It's that sin has come between us and that he will not hear. So in verse number 12, we find the pardon of prayer. The pardon of prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Now, I want to be very careful because we're going to tread a little deep water here. The scripture is not saying that if we have sinned, the Lord will not hear us. Man, if it said that, he wouldn't hear any of us. Amen? For we're all our sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. All right? So he's not talking about the fact there that he's saying that I lost my place here. There's too many papers. He's not saying that if we've sinned, he won't hear us. What he's saying is if we regard iniquity in our heart. Now go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, or verse number 12, because I want to share this with you. What does it mean to regard iniquity in our heart? Okay, now this is important. Watch this. Most Christians think that everybody has a besetting sin. Talked to a guy the other day. He's not a Christian. He said, "Preacher, I'm a good man." I said, "Okay." He said, "I've tried to live right, do right." He said, "And you can trust me." He says, I won't steal you blind. I won't mistreat you. But he says this, and I've heard this many times. He pulled out something. I think it was a pack of cigarettes or something. He said, "But I have one vice." Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? "I have one vice." Basically, what he was saying is, I'm good, but I've got one issue. Sometimes God's people even think that way. We think, well, preacher, every Christian struggles with something. Nobody is perfect. Everyone, pastor, has some sin in his life, and this one sin that I have in my life, this is my sin. I've tried, I've struggled. It's just my pet sin. Everybody has one. However, there's no repentance for that sin. There's regard for that sin. That's what regard is. Regard is, I know it's in my life, but it's in the pocket. And see, the Bible says if I regard iniquity, if I understand and I cover and I have regard of this one iniquity, then he will not what? Hear us. But we're so prone to think, well, every Christian has and struggles with some little problem, and this just happens to be my problem, pastor, and so I'm just going to live all of life, but I got this one little area. That's regarding iniquity. So here's what happens. Your child gets sick. You lose your job. A need comes up, and we go to pray, and we pray over this need, and God says, I can't hear you. Well, what do you mean you can't hear me? I don't hear you because you regard iniquity. And so to overcome that, God's given us the pardon, and he says there is forgiveness. Now, note the difference between sin and confession and regard for sin. He's not saying, well, if you commit a sin, then I can never come back and hear you again. No, that's why we have 1 John 1:9. I've been redeemed. The blood of Christ has, as we learned Wednesday night, has been our propitiation. It's covered me. My sins are under the blood. And because my sinful nature is under the blood, all my future sins are under the blood. So when I sin, I go to God. I confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And God's people said, amen to that. We understand that. We practice that. That's different than saying, "Well, God, I got this little sin over here, but it's just so small. You know, it's just tucked in deep." That's regard, right? So we understand that. Now, also understand what is teaching us in the pardon of prayer. Not only does sometimes because we regard iniquity in our hearts, but he said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." What's this verse teaching? It's teaching that God forgives us in the same manner that we forgive others. How do you forgive others? Well, bless God, I'm not going to forgive them. They did that to me. Then God says, okay, I'm not going to forgive you. Well, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. So I will forgive them, but I'm never going to have anything to do with them again the rest of the time I live. And God says, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to have anything to do with you as long as you live. As we forgive our debtors. And so there is a pardon in that prayer that is there for us. And I challenge you, search your heart. Know if we're regarding iniquity there. Confess that sin. Don't let it fester in there. Understand that the way you forgive others is the way God forgives you. So there's pardon there. Now he moves on and look at verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if you know that when you got saved, you got an enemy, say amen. Nod your head, do something. You understand, we got an enemy, right? And this enemy, it doesn't really care a lot about us, but he absolutely desires to dethrone God. Now, if you wanted to hurt me, but you could never get to me, what's the best way to hurt me then? To hurt the things that I love, okay? So if somebody wanted to do harm to me, but they could never get to me because Brother Malcolm would kill you on the spot, and you ought to make note of that, and it would happen, all right? So, but if you wanted to get to me, it couldn't happen, so you hurt the things you love. Well, Satan can't ever get to God, so what does Satan do? He comes after you and I. And Satan comes after us as an enemy, tries to destroy us, and he tries to keep us from praying. And to understand this and to have this in our mind will help us when we're tempted not to pray. Now, you must understand this verse. And lead us not into temptation. Now, does God tempt us for evil, to sin? Does the Bible teach that, yes or no? No. James chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, all right? God does not tempt man to evil. So the verse is not saying here, God, don't tempt me. God, don't tempt me for evil. God, don't lead me that way. The prayer is this way. Lead us, lest we fall into temptation. Now this is powerful. This absolutely will change the way you get out of bed in the morning. Watch this. How many have ever committed a sin and you had to go to God to get forgiveness and he forgave you? Lift your hand. Okay? We have. Amen. Did he forgive you when you went to him? Yes, he did. We understand that. How do you know he forgave you? Because it says in his word. All right? You were stumbling over that. You wanted me to help you. I helped you. There you go. All right? It says in your word. And we would say, praise his holy name. How many have found that you've committed a sin, you've gone and got forgiveness, and a few days later you committed the same sin? Anybody join me with that? Sure. And when I went back to God, I found out that God forgave me even over again. How many found that to be true? And then we shout doubly, hallelujah, thank you, God. And so then I go six days longer, and I do that same stupid thing again. And then I'm crushed, and I go back to God, and I say, God, forgive me. And you know what God does? God forgives me. Do you understand that when God gives you forgiveness, the very next time you sin is like the very first time you sinned? Satan says, don't go back, don't go back. He won't receive you. He's very first time. Your sin as far as the east is from the west, remembered no more. All right? However, as great as that is, aren't you ashamed sometimes? Sometimes I think, God, I'm so ashamed. I get wearied. I get frustrated in a lack of growth. Same stupid things. But this verse will teach you a walk and a growth and an answer to that. Lead us not into temptation. You see, verse number 12 is the pardon of prayer. And that's a marvelous pardon, that there's forgiveness for our sin. But verse 13 is the protection in prayer. Now, you know, many times we don't feel like we need protected. Sometimes, you know, ladies can go out at night and you may go to a store and you don't feel the need to be protected. And sometimes you want somebody to go with you because you're a little bit afraid here or we're here there. There are certain parts of our lives where there's no fear. And we don't need any protection. We just get up and go. And there's other times in our lives where we do desire a little bit of protection. But many times we wake up in the morning and we don't sense any real need for God to protect us today. The sun is shining. We live in South Florida. The day is good. The bills are paid. I got a job for today. The kids are at school. Things are going well. And so we jump up, we rush out, and we're out the door, and we didn't really sense any danger. About sometime at the end of the day, the old enemy comes in there. Now, at the end of the day, the enemy just eats our lunch, absolutely eats our lunch. We commit something, we do something that we thought wasn't even possible that day, a look, a touch, a smell, a taste. All of a sudden, we find ourselves sinning against our God. And at the end of the day, we say, God, I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. I don't know about you, but that happens to me sometimes, all right? But the prayer, now watch, in verse 13 is as much to be understood as the prayer verse 12. The prayer in verse 12 of forgiveness may be a prayer that's prayed at the end of the day, but verse 13 is a prayer that should be prayed at the beginning of the day. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? The prayer is, Lord, lead me not into temptation. That is a protective prayer. That is me getting up and understanding I have an enemy. That's me getting up and understanding in my humanity, I cannot handle the day. I cannot handle the enemy. It's not pride that's saying, I don't need you, God. I got today, okay, so I'm gonna go out the door. I get up, first thing I do, my feet hit the floor as I give you a praise. I fall on my face before God and I say, God, I need you today. God, lead me today. God, keep me from the evil one today. God, protect me today. God, I go for it in Jesus' name today. And that prayer protects me for the day. And so many times we don't stop and we don't pause and we just figure we can catch prayer number on verse number 12 at the end of the day. But oh, if we would learn the power of the protection of prayer that's found in verse number 13, my God, it would change our lives. By the way, prayer's not defensive, prayer's offensive. How many played sports in this room? Anybody played sports in this room? I didn't like to play defense. I like to play offense. I like to score touchdowns or baskets or whatever it was. But prayer's not defense. Prayer is offense. Go to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you a verse that I think you need to have tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse number 21. If you can get there quickly, we're almost done. The praise of prayer takes 5 minutes. We'll be out of here by 7 o'clock. All right. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 21, the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. What is he saying there? Go back to Matthew. He's saying, don't be so defensive that you're not offensive. Don't be so worried about what the enemy's going to do to you. Take the power and the authority that the Lord has invested in you and be offensive for his name. So the pardon of prayer is this. God, forgive me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. Well, everybody has a sin, Pastor. No. We may, then everybody's wrong. But if I regard that iniquity and just say, well, that's just my little vice and we'll be okay. You know, I just have a little of this and just once in a while, Pastor, you know, it gets a hold of me. Then God doesn't hear our prayer. The pardon of prayer is forgive me. Then the protection of prayer is God, lead me. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I challenge you to pray that every morning. I do. I say, God, I've got my schedule today, but I submit to the ordered steps of the God of heaven. God, I want you to lead me in the way that you want me to go. Now watch how this prayer finishes up. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The praise of prayer. If you would notice in the beginning of the prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise. At the end of the prayer, the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now let me tell you just a little bit about praise involved in your prayer. All powerful prayer is prayer that is packed with praise. I love what Billy Sunday wrote. I wrote this down. He said, we need to pull some of the groans out of our prayers and shove in a few hallelujahs. I like that. Sometimes we come to God and we pour out our heart. But you know, he said to enter his courts and his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Praise is valuable in your prayer. And if you don't learn to praise in your prayer, then you're not going to know what it is to pray with power. Well, why, Pastor? Because praise, now don't miss this, praise is an expression of faith. Praise says, by faith, I know you're good. Praise says, you said in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So I praise you, God, for the situation I'm in. I don't understand it, but I praise you for it. What's that doing? That's faith. And so when I praise God, I'm exhibiting and I'm showing that in my heart and my position is based on faith. And it's faith in that prayer that gets a hold of God. And so it's important that my prayers are packed with praise. Now let me tell you a little bit how I start my prayer time. And you can do whatever you want to do. I normally start my prayer time with this. Now the building's empty when I do this, and if you sing like I do, I suggest an empty building also. All right? But I begin my prayer time with this. Every Christian ought to have, every one of you ought to have a hymnal in your house. How many have a hymnal at your house? All right? You can steal one tonight. Take it. Well, maybe not take, I don't know if we have enough, but if you need a hymnal, you come and you see me. You ought to have this. It ought to be with your Bible. When you do your prayer time in the morning and your devotion in the morning, don't get up and the first thing you do is say, oh God, forgive me for my sin. Well, what sin did you do in your sleep? We're so rogue in our prayer. We're so boom, 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 boom. First thing you get up and feet hit the floor, you ought to praise his holy name. For the God of that protects Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers, and our God always cares for us. Amen? So praise him. Thank him. Man, I start praising him, and I start thanking him, and then I get me a hymn book, and I look for songs of praise, and I begin to sing, and I begin to walk around here, and I'll sing a verse or two, or I'll sing a chorus or two, and I'll flip through, and then sometimes I quote them. But by the time you're done praising, and by the time you're done singing, now you're ready to go into prayer. And your first prayers won't be, forgive me, God. Your first prayers will begin to be prayers of thanksgiving. Because when you've done singing in this, your heart's so full, and you've praised him for who he is, and you've sung about him, now you begin with thanksgiving. And then as you begin to thank him, and you feel the Spirit of God nestle up, and the person of Christ nestle up, once that happens, then your heart begins to get broken. And then you begin to think, God, I am so sorry. God, forgive me for this. God. And by the way, when you ask forgiveness, be specific. God, forgive me for all the bad things I did yesterday. That prayer got no higher than your nose. Okay? God don't want you to do that. God wants you to confess your sin. So be specific in that. And then once you have praised him, once you've sung, and once you've thanked him, and once you, and then once you've gone to praying and as far as what kind of God he is, and in the confession, then you're ready to make your petitions known unto him. You say, well, good Lord God, Pastor, I only got 3 minutes. That's kind of the story of the Christian life, isn't it? I only got 3 minutes. Between my coffee and my bagel, I got to get to work. Well, we got to find some time to set aside where we can worship and we can pray and we can pray with power. You see, truly we serve the living God who's worthy of our praise. So you have in there the person of prayer, understanding this is my Father. This is not some Catholic, some kind of what do they call those things when you did them? The word just left me. It's a conversation. It's communication. It's not a pray this prayer, pray this line, pray this, pray that. He said in the manner you pray, it's communicating. It's pouring your heart out in the person of prayer. It's understanding the purpose is bringing the will of God on earth. It's understanding that there's provision in that prayer. I have not because I ask not. Then there's pardon in that prayer. Forgive me, God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, you won't hear me. So forgive me for my sin, God. Cleanse me from that sin. And then protect me, God, for the day, so that I'm not brought into temptation, so that I overcome evil with good. God, protect me, and I give you praise for what you're going to do. Now, I'll tell you, if you'll try that, it will lengthen your prayer time. It will bring joy to your heart. It'll make you a better husband, make you a better wife, make you a better father, make you a better employee, a better employer, a better citizen, a better church member, a better friend. We could go on and on and on, but my clock says 6:59. Stand if you would. Let's pray. We'll sing our way out of here. Heavenly Father, really and truthfully, what we need is and understanding that we're not able to handle the day. God, my prayer for the church tonight is that tomorrow morning they would wake up with an understanding there's an enemy seeking to devour. There is an enemy that hates everything righteous. There is an enemy that hates the very word of God. And so he's coming after us to keep us from prayer. And so we'll rush out the door and we'll have our day. And we'll just say, God, we'll take care of today. We'll catch you when we got time. And then the old enemy just comes and we find ourselves doing things that we would never dream and powerless. God, how to pray and how to pray with power. Thank you for the relationship of Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Thank you that you left us the word of God that shows the will of God. And I can find your will in every area of my life. Thank you, God, for the provision. Give me this day my daily bread. I love to quote that verse to you that David said, I have been young and now I am old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God, so many times you've provided my daily bread. And then the pardon. God, that's powerful. There's not a man or woman in this room tonight that does not have to search their heart to see if we're regarding iniquity. Powerful statement. Well, it's just a little, this just is my pet sin, Pastor. Well, that's the reason God's not hearing our prayer. God, may we have desire to confess that and ask forgiveness. And then, on top of that pardon, then there's great provision for protection there. Protection. Lead me not. Lead us, God. If we're not led of you, the Bible says that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'll hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then when I understand all of that, then I end with praise. Nothing cheers the heart like praise to our God. Teach us that. God, these simple things would lengthen our time with you. These simple things would make our days come alive. These simple things would bring to us the power that we so desperately need when it comes time for prayer. I do pray for our church. I know there's people that have great needs, walking through hard and difficult days. God, may these be grand days. May these be days filled with prayer. May these be days that lead to the glory of God. May these be days that lead to the edification of God's people. And God, may we submit ourselves to the heart, attitude, and to the daily practice of prayer. Thank you for the good day today, God. God, we thank you for God's people, the people here tonight. They don't have excuses not to serve you. They want to serve you. I thank you so much for them. Bless us now as we sing. Protect us as we go home. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.